In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning I'd like us to consider three little words. Now, there are three little words that supposedly make the world go round, and songwriters and storytellers have referred to them over the years time and time again. And those three little words are, of course, I love you. But this morning's sermon is about three other little words. But before telling you about them, I want to tell you about something that happened to me in the past month or so. I've shared this story with some of you, and if you've heard it before, that's okay. I don't mind telling it again. So at Faith and Fun Camp, one of the families that was there, the mother was there, and I was speaking to her. And she is a Ukrainian from Argentina married to an American guy, which I was thinking only in America. And she and her husband are in the Bay Area planting a church. They're Protestants. They're doing a church plant. In other words, starting a church from scratch. They're actually doing it down in San Bruno. And we were talking, and she said, we've already outgrown our first temporary space. We have to find a new one. And I said, wow, how's that happening? She goes, well, word of mouth. I said, that's pretty typical. All churches today grow by word of mouth or through the internet. And she goes, no, here's what I mean when I say word of mouth. She said, we ask the people who go to our church to identify specific people that they think they should invite to church, people that need Christ. And then we tell them to pray about them. And after they prayed about them and prayed for them, then they invite them to come to church. And is it working? Well, obviously it's working because they've already outgrown their church space. And after she explained that to me, as I've told some of you, I kind of felt like the guy that had to Google how to make macaroni and cheese. I mean, it's incredibly obvious, right? How do you get people to come to your church? Well, you identify people that you know need Christ, you pray for that person, and then you invite that person. Now, inviting people to church might seem like some sort of an innovation, but it's really not. And this morning I wanted to share about six scripture readings with you, at least partial readings either gospel or epistle readings we hear throughout the year. And we can consider, should we be inviting people to church? This comes out of John chapter 1, and it's the call of the disciples or the apostles in John chapter 1. Picking up with verse 43, the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. And he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered him, before Philip called you when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. Jesus answered him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You shall see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Philip says to Nathanael, come and see. And because of that, Nathanael has an encounter with Jesus, where Jesus not only reveals to him that he knows all and sees all, but reveals to him the wonderful things he's going to see in his life because of this now emerging faith. Now, what about explaining to people how salvation happens and people making themselves available to hear that story. Well, this comes from Acts chapter 16. This is when Paul and Silas are in Philippi and they exorcise a girl possessed by demons, and their just reward, quote unquote, is to be thrown in jail. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was an earthquake, a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's fetters were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And he called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, the jailer, fell down before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and said, "Men, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once with all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced with all his household that he had believed in God. Paul and Silas knew exactly how to answer this question, "What must I do to be saved?" You can only imagine what was going through the jailer's mind, first thinking that he was about to lose his job because the prisoners had escaped, and realizing that some miracle had taken place. But they know how to answer him. "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." And in fact, his whole family is baptized on the spot, which is parenthetically in answer to the question, why do we baptize infants in the church? Because we baptize the whole family. Elsewhere in Acts is the encounter with Philip and the minister of the Ethiopians. And I changed some of the words there so that nobody has to explain too much on the way home. "An angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" An angel is speaking to Philip. "This is a desert road," and Philip rose and went. "And behold, an Ethiopian minister, Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go up and join his chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And he said, 'How can I, unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture which he was reading was this: 'As a sheep led to the slaughter, or a lamb before its shearer is dumb, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken up from the earth.' And the Ethiopian minister said to Philip, 'About whom, pray, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?' Then Philip opened his own mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news of Jesus. And as they went along the road, they came to some water, and the Ethiopian minister said, 'See, here is water. What is to prevent my being baptized?' And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the minister, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught up Philip, and the Ethiopian minister saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing." Philip listened to God's call to meet this person on the road, but then was prepared to explain what the scripture meant. And this was Philip's call, not simply to start from scratch, but to say, "Okay, here's what you're reading. Here's what it really means." And why wouldn't we want to tell people, "Come and see"? Why wouldn't we want to explain to people how we must be saved? Why wouldn't we want to explain the scripture to people? Because There are many people who can identify with the blind men of this morning's gospel reading. We read this morning, as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When Jesus entered the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it done to you," and their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly charged them, "See that no one knows it." But can you imagine keeping that to yourself? Are you kidding? Verse 31. But they went away and spread his fame through all that district. Those who are being healed want to share that good news with other people because they want other people to partake of it. John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman. After the encounter with Jesus, here's what happens. Verse 28. So the woman left her jar, her water jar, and went into the city and said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me all that I ever did." Can this be the Christ? They went out of the city and were coming to him. That is Jesus. Many Samaritans from that city believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of your words that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this indeed is the Savior of the world." That's what happens when you say, "Come and see," to someone. Yes, you witness about what's happening in your life, but then it's up to them to have their own encounter with Jesus and for themselves to understand the truth of salvation. And why do we invite people? Why do we invite people to come to church? Why do we tell them about the faith? Why do we answer the question, "What must I do to be saved?" Why bother explaining people's questions about the faith? Do we do it so that we can, quote-unquote, add more numbers to the church? There's over 160 people here this morning. That's a gracious plenty. It doesn't look like it because the church holds 900. Do we want to double that? I don't know. That's up to God. That's not the reason that we invite people to church. In this morning's epistle reading, we heard, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edify him." What we do for our neighbor, not for ourselves. Not so that we can go to a church meeting and say, "Oh yes, we have 10 more people this month." That's ridiculous. But we do it to please our neighbor, because our neighbor needs to hear from our lips, "Come and see." Our neighbor needs to hear the message of salvation. Our neighbor needs to have his or her question answered by us. So we are going to return to this theme throughout the month of August, but beginning this month, in fact, beginning today, and they'll be in the rear of the church as we walk out, we will have these cards on hand, and we'll keep them on hand throughout the year. If we run out of all of them today, that's fine. Vistaprint can get us more by next week. One card is like this. It's larger than the other, and you can carry them with you. And yes, if you have someone you think needs to be coming to church, pray about that person. Please pray, and pray hard first. And then when you feel right, hand on the card. In fact, these cards are just right there. They're the size of an iPhone, so you can put them right next to your iPhone in your pocket or your purse. You can have them with you at the grocery store. And if you're talking to someone and they go, "Where do you go to church?" You can say, "This is where I go to church." It's got everything you need to know on the back here. It's got the worship times, how to use social media, Holy Trinity View Orthodox Church, 999 Brotherhood Way. Everything's right there. And then we have this card, and it's specially designed for Faith and Fellowship, which is our small groups program that begins again in September. And Faith and Fellowship is a great way to invite somebody into church, especially if they feel a little bit strange about worshiping right away. "Well, come to this. It's okay." Sometimes people are bouncing around from church to church. That's the beauty of Faith and Fellowship meeting on Tuesday nights, not Wednesdays. Say, "Well, here, come check out our small groups." You've got these cards too. I encourage people to pick them up and carry them with them, no pressure. But again, you can pray about somebody and hand them this card. You can have them just for a spontaneous invitation, because that's the way the Holy Spirit works. And when you invite people to church, please, and I hope after this morning we realize that this is not something that's non-biblical, some sort of a modern innovation or something outside of the Christian tradition. Far from it. Now, I said that the three little words that songwriters refer to as I love you. And as we prepare for the ecclesiastical year, I concede that there's a lot to those words. The world needs more love. And why shouldn't it? Because we say God is love. But there are three other words that I want us to consider this morning. These are words that have saved, that are saving, and will save the world. But these words only have power when they are spoken by a believing Christian to someone that Christian cares about. And I hope by now everybody realizes what those three words are. Come and see.